Good morning. It is time to get up with trouble for Tampa Tom. Another Hall of Famer doesn't like what his coach said. Now the coach is firing back. You need to hear it all, and you will. Then we're one game in, and already it feels like Carson Wentz is at a crossroads. There's one simple way out of the trouble. Will he finally take it? And don't miss Vince Carter live on the crazy NBA playoffs and the Bam block heard around the world. All that and more as we get up with you starting right now. And with that, we welcome you to Get Up, coming to you live as always from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I am Greeny. Idris Elba is playing the role of Damian Woody today. You've lost 92 pounds.
Yeah, man, I'm back in fighting shape, so I'm good.
You
I
look
feel
fabulous.
Good.
It's great
Thank
to have you here. We have plenty of football acumen coming your way in a moment. And we're going to open today by saying, thank God it's Thursday, because what a slate of sports we have coming up. Let's take a look. Of course, tonight we have the kickoff of week two of the NFL schedule with the Bengals and the Browns, and a lot at stake, much more than just in-state bragging rights as both teams look for their first win. Meanwhile, we have game two of the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics looking to even that up after the Heat's dramatic OT win in game one. But that's not anywhere near all. Second round of the WNBA playoffs are tonight, featuring the Phoenix Mercury, who won on that buzzer beater on Tuesday. Then there's hockey. Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6, Islanders looking to keep it alive and force a Game 7 as they continue against the Lightning. And there's more. A dozen Major League Baseball games today, including afternoon action between the Twins and the White Sox, who can lock up a playoff berth with a win over Minnesota. They've been the surprise of the season, and saving my favorite for last, the U.S. Open gets underway at Wingfoot. Tiger Woods continuing his quest to catch Jack. Phil Mickelson trying to finish off the career Grand Slam. So a fabulous day in sports, and we begin with this. Bruce Arians has been critical of Tom Brady this week after Brady threw two picks and was sacked three times in his Bucs debut. Brett Favre, who also changed teams later in his career, questioned Arians' approach on the radio this week.
True or not, I think the last person you want to call out after the first game of the year is Tom Brady. Now, maybe they had a mutual truce going into the game, going into the season. Hey, you know, I'm going to be hard on you. I want the guys to know that we're going to treat you the same, even though technically I'm not. So are you okay with it? If they have that truce, great. If not, I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
So Brett Favre thinks he may be barking up the wrong tree. That's what he said. Yesterday, Arians was asked again about his relationship with Tom Brady. Here's what he said.
Yeah, Tom and I are fine, so I don't really care what other people think. So it's just what he and I think, and you know, we left the stadium fine, we showed up today fine, so there ain't nothing to talk about.
All right, so he says there's nothing to talk about, but we're going to talk about it anyway. We got Shefty, we got Neek, we got Lewis Riddick ready to go this morning, and Shefty, I will start with you. Bruce Arians says nothing to talk about. Brett Favre says he's barking up the wrong tree. What do you say?
Oh, with great respect to Brett Favre, hasn't Tom Brady been through that sort of thing for 20 years in New England? Hasn't he experienced that very same thing with Bill Belichick? I think that he's got enough of a professional relationship with Bruce Arians and enough experience in this game to know what he does and doesn't tolerate, what he can and can't accept. I think it's just part of the game. I don't think that that is something that hurts Brady's feelings. And when I spoke to people around the league who watched the film of Brady's game this week and watched how he played, they felt like he played very well other than that pick six. If you take away the pick six, they say he played a pretty flawless game and looked very strong even at the age of 43.
Lewis Riddick, let me come to you. What do you think of the way this has gotten off to a start after just one game?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to kind of like hold off making too many big predictions and or proclamations about how things are going to go down there. Although I will say this. Look, it's obvious once you get into game action and you're playing at game speed, things look a lot different. And all of a sudden, you maybe what you once thought was going on when you were in training camp and practicing against your own teammates, maybe may not be the case. Maybe it is the case. You're not quite sure. So I think, you know, there were some issues, obviously, with communication between him and wide receivers at different points in the football game. I don't think Tom's physical ability has deteriorated, or we need to start making any wild, crazy, you know, predictions about him falling off a cliff or anything like that. But there obviously needs to be more time to allow for him to get on the same page, especially with some of the route conversions that the receivers undergo in the middle of plays. And obviously Tom and Mike Evans weren't on the same page a few times. But I think for sure they need to go ahead and get a win under their belt, and they need to get a win under the belt quickly. Otherwise, Greeny, these questions are going to start cropping up more and more. The speculation is going to crop up more and more, especially if Bruce continues to talk about things out in the open, unlike Bill used to. Because then, I mean, we're just in uncharted territory then. We know that things weren't like that in New England, and that's what leads to speculation. That's what leads to us questioning what exactly is going on down there.
Dominique, what do you think? When you hear Brett Favre say he's barking up the wrong tree, what goes through your mind?
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate Lewis. He did a great job of Monday Night Football the other night. And absolutely, as it pertains to this question, I think that maybe Brett Favre is doing a little bit of projecting. Because maybe Brett Favre wouldn't react well to that. And when Brett Favre, when they brought in Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre's, his production went down significantly, because I feel like that's a similar situation where they aren't verbally saying that they aren't happy with your performance, but they're definitely sending you a message that they aren't happy with your performance. I think Tom Brady is a different animal. And part of being a head coach is knowing what buttons to push on which players. And I think Bruce Arians knows that Tom Brady can handle this criticism, whether it's public or private. And not only is he communicating with Tom Brady when he does this, I think that Adam and Lou both were kind of alluding to this. He's communicating to the whole team. The whole team sees this. This is not a message for Tom Brady. I don't think he needs to tell Tom Brady that you can play better. This is a message for everybody. It's what Adam started off with. It's letting everybody know that you all need to play better. If you don't, I'm gonna call you out.
Now, we'll wait and see if it gets better this week, to the point that Lewis made. They play Carolina this week. That's a game everyone will expect them to win. If it doesn't go well, the conversation might get a little bit louder, sort of the way it is right now in Philadelphia. Let me take you there, because Carson Wentz is facing increased scrutiny after his performance Sunday in Washington when the Eagles blew a 17-point lead. Wentz was sacked a career high 8 times. And all the conversation is about his tendency of holding onto the football when pressured rather than throwing it away. Here's Carson himself.
I'm pretty aware of it. You know, every case, every specific play is very specific. It's really case by case. And there's a time and a place to fight. There's a time and a place to throw it away. There's a time and a place to just eat it and take the sack.
So that strikes me as a fascinating question, as D. Wood jumps into the conversation as well, because holding onto the football too long can be dangerous. But Dominique Foxworth, let me ask you this. What does holding onto the football too long plus Aaron Donald equal? Because that's who they see this weekend.
Injuries? Trips to the hospital? Like, Aaron Donald, look at this monster. Look at that. That is terrifying. And speaking of terrifying, I think there is some value to having a little fear. I think Carson Wentz has been great in part because he is fearless. But you need a little fear in the NFL. When that man, did you see that? When that man's coming for you, it is reasonable to be a little scared and to throw the ball away. Carson Wentz had no throwaways in last week's game against a very impressive defensive line. So I want Carson Wentz to stay Carson Wentz and make the magic that he makes. But in certain situations, it's all right to be a little scared and get that thing out of your hands.
Yeah, because again, he went up against that Washington D-line, which has the 5 first-round picks. Now he gets that wrecking ball. 2 questions for you, Damian Woody. First of all, I was watching your face as we were watching that film. Cindy, roll it again. D-Wood, just explain, as an offensive lineman, what are we seeing in Aaron Donald as we watch this again?
We're seeing someone made in a lab, a cyborg, or something. Like, this is one man is not supposed to be able to throw another grown man around like this. I mean, look at this. These are pins, bowling ball pins going everywhere. And he took Zeke with one hand and threw him in the chest of Dak Prescott. Greeny, this is pro football. This is not supposed to happen. And now, Carson, this is what Carson Wentz has to face this week?
Right.
Good luck. I'm glad I'm sitting in studio, because I wouldn't want to see that.
Well, we'd have to put all those 92 pounds back on you to have any chance. But seriously, what are you saying? What should someone be saying? What should Carson Wentz be saying to himself after what we saw last week and the expectation going forward?
Well, granted, they have a couple of injuries on the offensive line. They got a couple of guys that are out for the year. So Carson Wentz has to know, listen, my time, the time in my head has to speed up. I can't hold on to the ball because he's facing some really good defense linemen. Washington has a bunch of first rounders on that defense line. You saw what they did. Now you got the Rams coming. And then some of the other teams that they got coming up in the next five games. You have the Rams, the 49ers, Steelers, Ravens, all in the next five games.
Yeah.
All of those teams have very good defenses that can get after the quarterback. So everything has to speed up for Carson Wentz moving forward.
Yes, the way their early schedule shapes up, they could get buried quickly. We'll see if the division runs away from them. Shefty, what are you hearing? We all understand there's panic and then there's Philadelphia-level panic. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing out of Philly after one game?
Well, the good thing is that they'll be getting back some reinforcements this week. Lane Johnson is expected to be back in the lineup after missing his regular season opener last week. Miles Sanders is on track to play this week if there are no setbacks. And so if you get back some of these weapons, that helps. Clearly, if you're without three different offensive line starters the way that the Eagles were, you're going to struggle. And the Eagles struggled against the Washington football team on Sunday. This is another brutal matchup for the Eagles. And it just seems like they're behind the eight ball early on in the season. But all it takes is just one win here to stabilize things, quiet the talk, and they're hoping to get some of these players back from injuries this week, which they think they will.
Now, let me circle it back to the beginning, though, Nick, because the conversation really here is, what is Wentz's role in all of this? There's an element of trying to make plays where plays aren't there to be made. Pardon me. He winds up holding onto the ball as a result, trying to play what some people will call hero ball, and it turns into some of these problems. Yes, the O-line is a problem, but these two sort of factor in together. Do you think that's something that needs to be addressed with him?
I guess that's something that you need to address, but you could lose something in that. And hero ball has bad connotations, but sometimes it's okay to play hero ball if you are capable of being a hero. And Carson Wentz is definitely capable of being a hero. So I would certainly suggest that he curtail some of the hero ball, but you don't want to lose what makes Carson Wentz special. And these are all examples of Carson Wentz trying to be special and falling short. But if you're going to go ahead and try to make Carson Wentz into some sort of game manager, then why have Carson Wentz? He needs to be smart. I agree. He needs to be more judicious with when he tries to make Superman hero ball type plays. But I don't want to lose the Carson Wentz that was an MVP candidate a couple years ago.
That's a very fine line to have to walk. And if Aaron Donald is on the other side of that line, it's a line you might want to stay far away from. All right, we're just getting started here. Lots to come. Coming up, if Bill Belichick wants Cam Newton to make it to week three, there is something he'd better do in week two. I have unsolicited advice for the greatest coach ever coming up. Plus, with the Big Ten coming back, Paul Feinbaum tells you the four teams that are going to make college football's playoff and the NBA's gold rush. How worried should LeBron be about the Nuggets? We will ask the legend Vince Carter as he joins us live in this hour. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Gillette, the best a man can get. Well, it was a huge day yesterday in a lot of different ways, including this. Hours after the Big Ten Conference made its decision to return to play college football this fall, all eyes turned to the Pac-12, whose commissioner Larry Scott was a guest with Neil Everett on SportsCenter last night.
Well, you know, getting the local county approvals as soon as possible would allow our student athletes and our coaches to start what we think of as normal practice. The best case scenario is 6 weeks of practice training camp and, starting end of October, early November, but that's still subject to, county approvals, which we don't have yet. So that's the best case. And we're going to do everything possible to play this fall if we can play a Pac-12 championship game and have teams compete for a college football playoff if it's possible.
Right, if it's possible is obviously the most important part of that. Paul Feinbaum and Heather Dinich are with me early this morning. Heather, we just heard Larry Scott. What can you tell us about their timetable? Because the Big Ten, as we discussed yesterday, is squeezing its entire season in just with enough time to be ready for the college football playoff. Can the Pac-12 do that?
Possibly, as he said, the timetable is out of their hands until they get that local approval from public health officials where those four California schools are and two Oregon schools. How quickly that happens will determine their return. Now, the Pac-12 presidents and chancellors are meeting on Friday, where I'm sure all of this will be discussed. But then beyond that, their timetable also includes the testing that they got. The new daily testing will be on each campus by the end of this month. Following that, there's a short time period they need to train everyone how to use those tests and know the testing protocol. And then they determine, you heard Larry say, they want ideally 6 weeks to train to properly play a football game. The Big Ten has condensed that, as you know. Their doctors and physicians yesterday said, we're okay with that. We'll see if the Pac-12 might change its mind. And as Larry Scott said yesterday, push the envelope to get back faster.
Yeah, because, I mean, excuse me, the clock is ticking in every conceivable way. Paul, what would the significance in your mind be of the Pac-12's return?
It would be great to have them competing, but Greeny, I don't think it's going to be a big factor. If you look at the Pac-12 objectively, there's really only one school, Oregon, that may play big into the playoffs. And I'm not going to sit here and talk about the Pac-12's ineffectiveness in the playoff over the years. Oregon played for the championship. They've had other schools in, but they have not been a serious contender. The big story was the Big Ten. I mean, they do matter in the playoff. But, I mean, everyone would love to see the Pac-12. I don't think they're going to make it in time for the playoff. But, you know, that's their own fault. They've been sitting around moving forward toward a spring ball while the Big Ten realized their mistake and got right to it.
Well, so, again, I want to go back to the playoff because, to me, that feels like, from everyone's standpoint, the most important part. Dabo Swinney, coach at Clemson, was asked yesterday about having the Big Ten join the playoff. Here's what he said.
I have no problem with that at all. You've got some of the best teams in the country in that league, and it's not those players' fault. It's not those coaches' fault. I'm just glad that they're getting an opportunity to get back to playing. I think whoever wins this has got a chance to be maybe the greatest champion ever, regardless of how many conferences. With all that's been in play and all that that everyone has had to deal with, especially these young men.
So there's a lot to unpack in that comment. So, Heather, let's start with this. I asked you yesterday on the radio, and you said it wasn't a certainty yet. What are you hearing from the college football playoff about including the Big Ten and potentially the Pac-12 in their ultimate Final Four teams?
Well, Greeny, I talked to CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock yesterday and asked him if there's a minimum number of games that teams have to play to qualify for a semifinal. And he told me that that hasn't been determined yet because it doesn't have to be determined yet. The people in charge of the college football playoff rules, remember, are the 10 FBS commissioners, including Larry Scott and Kevin Warren in the Big Ten, and they determine those types of things. And they obviously want to see how this season plays out. What if Clemson only plays 6 games? Then there's a conversation about, well, maybe you only need 6 games to be in a semifinal, right? So he said that they're going to be patient, watch those scenarios unfold as it gets closer to selection committee meeting time. But he did tell me that the protocols have not changed for determining the top 4 teams in the country, and it's the selection committee's job to choose them based on the schedules the conferences determine.
Yes, I will just say this. When it comes to that, if you are a fan of chaos in college football, this might very well be the season for you. And I know that my friend Mr. Feinbaum is definitely that. So, Paul, let's let you be the first one on this show on the record. As we stand right now, give me your 4 teams. Who will be in your, the Paul crystal ball? Who are the 4 teams who are going to wind up playing for the championship?
Yeah, Greeny, I start with Clemson. They are there every single year, and they will be there again this year. Alabama is next. Nothing changed yesterday that affects Alabama's attempt to regain the crown. And here comes the new entrant. It is Ohio State. I have no doubt whatsoever they are one of the 3 best teams in the country. They may be even better. They ended the season last year in the semifinals, blowing a big lead to Clemson. The 4th one is very difficult, but I'm going with Oklahoma because I think that league is diminished, and if they get through the league undefeated, which I think they have a good chance of doing, that they'll sneak in. But the big losers yesterday really were the ACC and the SEC. Georgia, possible loser in the SEC game, or even Notre Dame may have gotten edged out by Ohio State's entry into the playoff.
Now, we'll see. Again, this is going to be a season unlike any other, and you guys will be there covering it for us every step of the way. Thank you both. Meanwhile, I want to get up and go here with other news around the world of sports, and it starts in college football. On the same day the Big Ten announced its return, Michigan quarterback Dylan McCaffrey announced he's opting out and will seek a transfer. He fell behind as he competed for a starting quarterback job. He's the little brother, of course, of Christian McCaffrey. In other sports news, the NCAA men's and women's basketball seasons will begin November 25th, the day before Thanksgiving. The Division I Council voted to push the start date back from the original date of November 10th as one of several precautions against the spread of the coronavirus. Elsewhere, LeBron James now stands alone in all NBA recognition history, getting there unanimously. He was revealed yesterday as an all-NBA player for a record 16th time, breaking a mark that he had shared with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan. All right, as we continue, coming up, is it time to reset expectations for Tampa, Tom, and the Buccaneers? Are they already facing a must-win game? We have answers to all those questions. Plus, the case against Gase. The owner of the Jets said something yesterday that just defied explanation. I will tell you why it was 100% wrong in every conceivable way. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, and this one's for D. Wood. Which was the last team to start 0-2 and reach the Super Bowl? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. Yeah, Hembo. We are back on Get Up, and it's time for Sneaky Hembo, and this one is for the big fella, Damian Woody. Here we go. D. Wood, which is the last team to start 0-2 and reach the Super Bowl?
That's a good one. That's a good one, Hembo. How about the now Los Angeles Chargers?
That's not correct. That would be going back a very long way. This isn't quite as far back.
Okay.
The answer, the 2007 New York Football Giants, who went on to win the Super Bowl that year. Last team to start 0-2 and make it to the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter rejoins us here. Let's run the hurry up, Schefter, through some news. What is the latest on Richard Sherman?
He went on IR yesterday, Greeny. The Niners will be without him for at least 3 weeks. It's a 3 to 4 week injury right now. It's a strained calf. That means that there's a hole in their secondary. They've got a couple of cornerback injuries right now. And so they signed Ken Webster off the Dolphins practice squad yesterday. They promoted a cornerback from their own practice squad. They've got some cornerback woes as they go to face your New York Jets on Sunday, needing a win. Not an ideal spot for the Jets to be in. As for Michael Thomas, the Saints don't expect that he'll be able to play Monday night in the first game in Las Vegas. Whoever would have thought that the NFL would be in Las Vegas? It's just crazy to think about. And there's a chance that Thomas could miss multiple games. It's a high ankle sprain. They'll see how he handles it in upcoming days, but I think that they're resigned to the fact that he will not play on Monday night against the Las Vegas Raiders at this point in time. And there's another wide receiver injury in the NFC South. Chris Godwin, the Buccaneers' excellent wide receiver, is now in concussion protocol after that hit that he suffered Sunday against the New Orleans Saints. He'll have to pass through that protocol if he's able to play on Sunday against Carolina. No guarantee about that. We'll see his status going forward, and if he can't play, that would mean more targets for guys like Mike Evans and Scotty Miller for Tom Brady to throw to.
Okay, Shefty, thank you very much. And let's stay on the Buccaneers for the moment here, because we got some numbers from a piece that Jenna Lane did for us. On Sunday against the Saints, Tom Brady was off target on 20.6% of his throws. That was 23rd in the league, and he wasn't much better when he faced a lot of pressure, completing just 20% of his passes when under duress. Yesterday, Bruce Arians was asked how he felt after looking at the film.
Very disappointed, and then you look at it and you take all the good things that happened and the things that were bad, could you be correctable, and they were very correctable. So, yeah, and we're on to Carolina now.
On to Carolina now. Did I just hear him say that? Dominique, what do we make of that?
Yeah, that was funny. It reminds me of Bill Belichick, obviously, saying on to Cincinnati. And it seems to me that Tom Brady is turning Bruce Arians more into Bill Belichick. And maybe Bruce Arians is turning Tom Brady more into Jameis Winston with his 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I think they're doing a little flip-flop situation there.
I wonder if they're doing too much. I mean, Lewis, a couple of weeks ago on this show, I gave unsolicited advice to Bruce Arians, which was, don't forget that Tom Brady is 43. Don't forget that your running backs room is filled with names everybody knows. Don't forget that you have one of the best defenses in the NFL. I wonder if they're asking a little too much of Brady in this offense, regardless of his credentials.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I don't know if they're asking too much, Greeny. I just think that expectations got out of control with this football team and not enough attention was being paid to the fact that there was going to be some time needed for acclimation in real time, real game situations. And that's what you saw down there in New Orleans. Look, I know New Orleans was not playing with their normal crowd and that normal party atmosphere down there, and it wasn't real raucous. It wasn't one of those things that could unsettle a football team that's trying to get to know one another. But when this season is over, you will see that New Orleans is going to be one of the top 10 defenses in the NFL. They've got some real good players, man. They got people who can rush the passer. They got linebackers that can blitz and hit. And they've got a bunch of corners and some good safeties, guys who can cover, have good ball skills, who, if you aren't on top of your game and you're someone who's trying to feel their way in a new offense and you aren't in lockstep with the wide receivers and you aren't throwing the ball in rhythm and you are off target at all, we're going to make you pay for it. And they made Tom pay for it. So I think they need to go back to the drawing board. Again, not panic. Keep expectations within themselves at a reasonable level. And as Bruce said, look, move on to Carolina. I just think, you know, in the offseason when they signed Gronk and Tom came there, and you think about Godwin and Mike Evans, and then, I mean, you just start going, your expectations get out of whack, and I think that's what happened with them. But make no mistake, they need to win this week. Otherwise, we're going to be talking about them a lot, and not in a good way.
No question about it. What do you think, D-Wood? The expectations versus the reality for the Buccaneers, are they not the same?
Well, I've always said from the beginning that they're going to need a grace period. When you don't have an off-season program, and the way that training camp was truncated, this was going to happen. Tom Brady's moved on from a system that he was with 20 years, and now he's with Bruce Arians and all the weapons, and people just expected Tom Brady to come out of the gate just firing. Doesn't work that way. I remember when Brett Favre got traded to the Jets, it took us about 2 or 3 games to get going. But once we got going, then that's the expectations, you know, started to meet there. So I think the same situation is going to happen with Tampa. Give them a couple games, and I think these guys will get it turned around.
So you believe, give it a month, and you believe this team will be what we talked about a lot this summer.
Yeah, I do think that Tampa Bay will be one of the teams that we're going to be talking about at the end of the year.
Okay, so there's that. Then there's something else that we need to get to this morning, and that is the New York Jets. They opened their season with a 10-point loss to the Bills in a game that was not nearly as close as the final score would seem to suggest. And Sam Darnold, the quarterback, posted a QBR of 19. The team rushed for a total of 52 yards. Yesterday, the Jets' CEO and owner, Christopher Johnson, talked to reporters and remains fully behind his head coach, Adam Gase. And here's the quote. He said, "I think he can work with and develop quarterbacks. I do continue to think he's a brilliant offensive mind. He has my every confidence. Brilliant offensive mind." So the acting owner of the Jets thinks Adam Gase has a brilliant offensive mind. To that, I reply, what on earth could possibly have given you that impression? There is certainly no evidence that it's true. What there is, in fact, is overwhelming evidence that the exact opposite is true. Consider that in no season that Peyton Manning was not his quarterback did any of Gase's teams ever finish in the top half of the league in scoring. The last three seasons, in fact, they finished 28th, 26th, and 31st. That's in a 32-team league. In 17 games under Gase, the Jets have scored 33 touchdowns, and they've punted 93 times. They have scored on 24% of their possessions. That's the worst in the league. They've gone three and out on 44%. That's the worst in the league. Their average drive has gained 23 yards. All of those are the worst in the NFL. But wait, there's more. When the Jets acquired Le'Veon Bell, he had averaged more total yards per game than any player in history ever. Under the brilliant offensive mind, Bell is 27th in the league in yards per game. And there's one more, just so you know, this is not just my fandom talking. Under Gase in Miami, Ryan Tannehill was so bad, the Dolphins traded him for mid-round draft picks, and they chipped in $5 million just to get rid of him. Then, in his first year in Tennessee away from Gase, Tannehill had the fourth highest passer rating in history and led the Titans to the AFC title game. Those are all facts. They happened. And they beg one big question, Christopher Johnson. If the coach has a brilliant offensive mind, what in the world is he doing with it? That's what I think, and I'm trying to keep myself controlled because D. Wood is completely laughing as I was trying to talk. Your thoughts, Damian Woody?
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that, I'm
trying not to go berserk here, but Greeny, I haven't seen one damn bit of progress from the Jets since Adam Gase has been with this organization.
Preach.
I mean, he's been talking about this offensive mind, this offensive brilliance. Where is it? You basically turned Le'Veon Bell into a scrub. Le'Veon Bell, a guy who was from yards from scrimmage, was the best in NFL history. Now he's relegated to scrub status. Do you know how awful you have to be to not even know how to even use a weapon like that? Then your quarterback from USC, okay? A guy like when we watched him his rookie year, you're like, damn, this dude got game. This dude, I can see this dude being one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And ever since Gase has been the head coach, he's gotten worse. Worse. Name one aspect of the Jets offense that you can see that can go out there and compete with anybody. Anybody. I watched the Jets from Bristol Sunday along with all the other games. They were clearly the worst team in the league. They were an embarrassment to the Buffalo Bills. It looked like varsity versus JV. It was awful, disgusting, nauseous. I'm done.
Okay. No, you said it well. Who else do I have here? I've lost track of what's going on. Lewis and Shefty. Beautiful. Shefty, can you bring any decorum to the proceeding?
Yeah, I can, absolutely. You're talking about a team that went 6-2 last year. 6-2 in the second half of the season. They lost one game. They got blown out. They fell behind early. It's one game. Let's calm down before we're basically hanging Adam Gase. This guy, again, I'm not telling you that he's proven he can be a Super Bowl winning head coach yet so far, but it takes time. Joe Douglas, the GM, traded away the star player. Joe Douglas had time to build one draft class together so far, one free agent class. Let's not rush to throw the guy off the bus just yet. I know that they were bad in week one, no doubt about it. If they're bad in week two and three like that, yes, bring back all the comments, fire everybody. It's 1 week for a team that went 6-2 down the stretch last year. I mean, 1 week. Come on. Are we doing that to Doug Peterson in Philadelphia? Are we doing that to Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco? Are we doing it to Frank Reich in Indianapolis? Teams losing opening weeks where there's no preseason.
Hold on, Shefty. All right. Yeah. We're talking about coaches that won a Super Bowl and gone to the Super Bowl. You don't get that type of grace period in my mind.
Okay,
you don't
fine.
Get that.
That's
fine.
1 week. 1 week.
Lewis, your thoughts.
Yeah, there's a lot going on here, isn't there? There's a lot of opinions about this place. We got a lot of emotions running them real high on Get Up this morning, man. I'm up. I'm here for it. You know, I think what people want to know is this, okay? If ownership comes out, and I don't care what organization it is, and you put that kind of backing behind your guy, and you put your name on that guy, and you put your stamp of approval on that guy, and your trust in that guy saying, I believe they're a brilliant offensive mind. I believe that what I'm seeing in my exposure to him maybe is not what you're seeing. Well, people who aren't seeing what you're seeing are going to say, okay, all right, well, then we better start seeing it here very soon. And you know what? I'll give Adam this, okay? It is 1 week, meaning Adam Schefter. It's 1 week. It's the first week. Let's see what happens in weeks 2 and 3. You're right. But I will say this. Okay, we just got done broadcasting Tennessee at Denver. One of the things that Mike Vrabel continuously talked about with his football team this past offseason and even told us before we did that game was, it doesn't matter what we did last year. This is a what have you done for me lately league. What are you doing for me now league? And people like to talk about momentum from 1 year to the next year and how it should carry over and how, and especially in the early part of a season, people want to rely on how teams finished up. It really doesn't matter. And they better start showing some progress in New York. They better start showing some progress in terms of development of Sam Darnold, the development of the offense overall, and their ability to stay close in football games and actually win them. Because if they don't, it doesn't matter what Christopher Johnson says. It doesn't matter what Peyton Manning said about Adam Gase. It doesn't matter about anything. They will replace him, and someone else will be in there. Because the fact of the matter is they're not relevant, and they're not getting the job done, and they have to change that around quickly.
Well said. Okay, we will leave it there. We're all going to calm down. Everything is going to be fine. We're going to work our way forward.
I'm going to try to calm down.
Okay, we will see. A little bit later, maybe. This is a large calm man down, with a mallet. Who knows what might happen as we continue. But coming up, don't miss Vince Carter. He's live on the crazy NBA playoffs and on the BAM block heard around the world. He's coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. All right, Vince Carter live in a moment. But first, let's do either or. Week 2 matchups, quarterbacks facing pressure. Dominique, who you got, Chase Young or Kyler Murray?
I got to go with Kyler Murray. What he did in Week 1 against that incredible 49ers defense was exceptional. But I feel like I'm shortchanging Chase Young. He is one of the best rookie defensive debuts that we've seen in a while. He's been great. But I'm going to lead towards Kyler Murray because of what he can do with his legs and still manage never to get hit. But the most impressive thing about Kyler Murray is not his legs. He throws some incredible passes to the outside. His arm strength is ridiculous.
D. Wood, the Rams, Aaron Donald up against the Eagles, Carson Wentz. Who you got?
I'm going with that bad man, Aaron Donald. Listen, Aaron Donald to me is the best player in football regardless of position. His ability to create and wreak havoc in the middle of the pocket. You know, just the uncanny pass rushing from the deep tackle position. And you talk about a Philadelphia Eagles offensive line that's decimated with injuries and trying to find their way early. Aaron Donald looking to eat.
Lewis, tonight, the Bengals rookie Joe Burrow against the Browns' Myles Garrett. Who you got?
I'm going with Joe Burrow. Like, I think this young man is uniquely wired to handle big moments and to handle an organization pinning their hopes on it, on a single individual as the number one overall draft pick. And then look, he had his team in position to challenge for the tie and then possibly win that game against the Chargers. I love the way he is put together, both mentally and physically. I love his game. I think he's going to grow into a tremendous, tremendous role within the NFL and that organization overall. I expect him to have a good game tonight. And for the Browns, I don't know what to expect.
Feels like there's a lot of pressure there. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. Guys, sit tight. I'm coming back to you. But let me get to the NBA, where game one of the West Final is set for Friday night between the Lakers and the surprising Denver Nuggets, who stunned everybody by knocking out the Clippers in 7. And after that game, Nuggets star guard Jamal Murray had this message for his critics.
We've been shown it, and you got Shaq, you got Charles, you got, I think Zach Lowe's the name, I don't even know. Stephen A., all y'all better start giving this team some damn respect because we put in the work.
You know, I like hearing him say that as the great Vince Carter joins me here. I like that confidence. I like him telling everybody you didn't believe in us and now here we are. But once again, they're going to be a heavy underdog. Vince, do you give them a shot to pull off another upset against LeBron and the Lakers?
Absolutely give them a shot. Absolutely give them a shot. Some people think they may get swept. I tell you about this. It tells me a lot about him, and it tells me a lot about his team. They're very confident. They're fearless, and they believe that they can win in this series and make some noise. You know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I say this. Kitchener's finest, Jamal Murray. He's from Kitchener, Ontario, Canada, and he's not afraid of the moment. As you see, he called us out, and what made me a believer is when he said, they got to worry about us too. I was like, you know what? I think they win game one.
The Lakers have lost game one in each of their two previous series, so we'll see if Denver takes this momentum in. As you look at the matchups, what to you is the biggest key in that West Conference final?
I have three keys. I say, first of all, who can win the AD Jokic matchup? It's very important because I think when one is dominating, they're going to start demanding. They're going to start demanding, you hear me, double teams. And when that happens, they get a lot of open jump shots on both sides. Two, can the Lakers make jump shots? We know LeBron's going to do what he's going to do. He's been to the finals. He's very experienced and he's very cool, calm, and collected in this series. But can the Lakers as a team knock down open jump shots? And lastly, can someone slow down once again Kitchener's finest, Jamal Murray, who's playing at a very high level with a lot of confidence, and he's doing what he needs to do for his team.
So those are the two teams left in the Western Conference. Let's talk about the one that is no longer playing for that, the title favorites, the Clippers. What, now that we've had sort of a day to digest it, Vince, what is your overall thought on what happened to them?
I mean, the first and foremost, we know they're going to say Doc Rivers is going to be on the hot seat and all that. I think he's fine. Number one, you're going to blame the star players. You're going to say, hey, Kawhi did not play well. You're going to say, hey, PG did not play well. And you expect it. You put this team together to win right now, today, not later on, not whatever, right now. And it didn't happen. They did not play well. They didn't get the job done. I mean, you can look back at the Heat when they first got their big three. They just didn't play well. I mean, yes, you can say they didn't gel and all this stuff, but that is a very experienced team with that big three. They just didn't get it done. And I say the same with the Clippers. They just did not play well and get it done in the bubble.
Yeah, it's going to be a short offseason, but I think it's going to feel long for a lot of the members of the Clippers. Over in the East, we have game two tonight coming up on ESPN. And the whole world has been talking about Bam Adebayo's game-saving block at the end of game one. Let's take another look at it. What was your perspective on that play?
It was an unbelievable.
Oh, no. I believe we have lost Vince's signal, which is such a shame because I so want to hear his perspective on this. And I can tell you right now, we have put together, I'm being told it's stormy where he is. And unfortunately, that may have just knocked out his internet connection because we have also planned to show you his favorite block of his career. Let me mention to you as we try and get that solved that we have game two of the East Final tonight. High on ESPN, coverage starts with NBA Countdown 6 Eastern. That's followed by the Heat and Celtics at 7 Eastern. It's on ESPN. It's on the ESPN app. We'll continue trying to get Vince back. Meantime, let me run the bases around the action in Major League Baseball yesterday to buy us a little more time and let you know that the Dodgers became the first team to clinch a postseason berth. They beat the Padres 7-5. It's the 8th straight playoff appearance for LA, which is the 3rd longest streak in history and by far the longest active. Elsewhere, the Yankees took down the Blue Jays 13-2. They've won 7 straight. They got a career-high 3 home runs from their backup catcher. The Yankees' magic number to clinch a playoff spot is now 7. They are 3 games behind the Rays for the American League East lead. And Minnesota knocked off the White Sox 5-1. The White Sox could have clinched their first postseason berth in 12 years with a win. They'll try to do it again today in the finale of their 4-game series. White Sox perhaps the most pleasant surprise in the sport. We'll try and get Vince for you a little bit later. In the meantime, coming up, something has to change in Dallas. It has to happen now. Our analysts are fired up about them Cowboys. We'll talk about it next. Get up on ESPN.